Welcome to the Cabin Culture Podcast, where we spend a little more time diving deeper into all the fun parts of cabin culture. We like to think of this as both the material and imagined expressions of how cabin lovers, dwellers, builders, and designers wish to live a more simple and authentic life. This episode is a different one. Today, we're talking to Sam, the owner, host, entrepreneur behind The Woods Maine. We ended up talking for so long that we're cutting it into two episodes. And while Sam is the host at one of the most iconic spots in Maine, we didn't even talk about her space in much detail until episode two. Sam and Rob's background is in operations at a large company that worked to help other businesses scale. So on today's episode, we're talking about how all that experience led to the creation and growth of not only a luxury treehouse, but also a Maine-based lifestyle brand. We talk about storytelling, loss, entrepreneurship, risk, confidence, and trademarking before we ever got to building and hosting. But stick with us, because I think there are a ton of gems in these two episodes. As always, thanks for joining us every week, and I hope you enjoy it. Are you at the cabin right now?
I am at the treehouse. So if you hear loud banging, it's because it's a windy day, and that's a fun fact that we're working through because every guest thinks that a moose just ran underneath the treehouse and like smashed it.
And it should so be I'm a like, dream come true, in my opinion. Not the
yes,
smashing.
Well, part, it's amazing. But some guests love the fact that the treehouse moves and that there is loud banging, and some guests are like, "What did I sign up for?"
Yeah,
and I'm like, if you didn't like it, I don't know what to tell you. You're in a treehouse and it's a windy day.
That's right. I feel like this is a common theme in the world of cabins, is that people in theory want a cabin. They romanticize this idea of being in the woods and getting away from it all. And then they get there and you get messages and it's like, oh, there's bugs here. Yes, you're in the woods. Oh, I'm a little scared because there's no one around. Yes, you're in the woods. It's like the pieces that make it a true cabin, folks are less certain about.
It's interesting because people don't know what to expect when you come across our treehouse. And believe it or not, a lot of the common things that people are concerned about, you don't get with us. Like, they feel like they're going to be in the middle of nowhere, but you're actually not. You're on 10 acres of our private property. We reside on the property and you're 3 minutes from town. The other thing too with the treehouse is, I think the biggest thing with people is from a weather standpoint, so the treehouse is fully operational with a backup generator. So if the power kicks out, it automatically kicks in. So it's a fully functional home in the trees. But the banging, because of the way that the tree is connected to the tab, like I can't control the wind. So if it's banging at night, like that's part of the experience.
That's right.
And people, I think, are a little like, and granted, like some people, like I am a noise person. Like if my husband's chewing, I want to literally like kill him because I can't stand the sound of chewing.
Yep.
Some people are sound sensitive.
Yes.
So we try to prepare people for that. But then, and then like, other people are like, this is the coolest thing ever. The trees are moving and this is exactly the experience I wanted.
That's right. They're like, this is different than any place I've ever stayed, which is what I came for. Exactly. Great. Bring on the banging. Sam, I'm so excited to meet you. You don't know this. I actually feel like a little, I don't know if starstruck is the right word, but I feel like your place, like I've been a Maine lover my whole life and I found your place before we ever built Cozy Rock. And like, it was this dream place.
Oh my God, I feel the same way about you.
That's so funny. So I have no idea why it's taken this long to get you on the podcast. I honestly think the biggest reason is fear of reaching out to you and then being like, oh, she won't want to do the podcast.
Oh my God. I've like, it's been on my radar where I was like, you know, I got to reach out to her and I'm like, but am I the right fit for what she's doing? And then I've just like seen your stuff come up and then I, you know, and I love everything that you guys are doing. And I love the direction like that you've taken it beyond just like a cabin and the kind of conversations that you open it to. And then every time I was going to reach out, more things like, cause you know how it is, just things grow, business grow, and there's only one of you. And so the timing is never aligned. And so when we caught, you know, connected on social, I was like 100% in.
Yes, I was so excited. And I've been looking forward to this one for a while. And I kind of want to start there because I think, to your point, that's one thing. We built the cabin and then it kind of accidentally grew into these other things like the podcast and things like that. And you are similar in the sense that, like, I actually don't know which one it started with. So I really want to start with overall brand as a, like, a business owner. I think this is fascinating.
Yeah.
But you have this luxury treehouse, and then you also have this brick and mortar store in Norway. You also have an online shop, and you source items from all these local Maine artisans. So your shop is not just a shop for goods. It also, I feel like, spreads a love of Maine to people far outside of Maine. So it's grown into this community that I think I'm drawn to because it's centered around a love of Maine, which I feel. Can you take us back to the beginning? Did it start with one of them or did it start as this big idea?
So the short is my husband always makes fun of me because he goes, did we really have to build a whole treehouse to start a brand? And that's really what it started with. So taking a step back. So Rob and I had always loved Treehouse Masters. We had always watched it. We had bought our property up here in Maine about 8 years ago on the lake. And so we were renting our house while we were working in Boston. And we would always get boxed out of the best weekends in the summer. And we're like, we really need to build on the property. We got to do something so that we have a place to stay. And so we brought an architect out and nothing quite felt right. And then every 4th of July, we have friends and family come up and they just kind of cycle in the house throughout the week. Nobody really needs to tell us when they're coming and going. We never had enough room. We never had enough room. And so one summer, I'm sitting on the couch after everybody left 4th of July week. And I was like, okay, we need to build something. So when we started talking to the architects and looking at the costs, we were like, you know, Rob goes, you know, what if we built a treehouse? And I was like, well, let's reach out to the Nelsons, pitch our idea, see where it all falls and just see how it goes. And so I sat down in my office and wrote an email to the Nelsons thinking it would take 6 months to hear back. 2 hours, we heard back. 2 weeks later, we were on the phone with Pete. 2 weeks after that, he flew out from Seattle. And at that point, I equated to like when you're sitting in front of like Mr. Wonderful and you're pitching this idea that you're like, really, no matter really what the offer is or what the costs are, like this is a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Like we're obviously doing it.
We're freaking doing it. And so we went ahead with the project, but the very first person I called was my good friend, Josh from Media Northeast. And I learned this from a friend of mine, Jilly Fratt at HubSpot. Go Jilly. She owns Granite Ridge Barn and Estate Wedding, gorgeous wedding venue here in Norway. And so when she was building her property, she worked with Josh and they documented the build process. So I said to Rob, the first place we're going to invest is hiring a production company because I don't care about being on TV. I don't care about being on Treehouse Masters. I said, I can market us better than they could ever market myself. It might take me a little bit longer. I said, but I want Josh to be part of this project because he's a storyteller and I want him to tell our story through video. So Josh,
you are my dream client. I own a video production company full time. And the amount of people that come to us where video is an afterthought and it's like, oh yeah, we probably need to do video versus someone at the idea stage being like, I need you to tell this story. It's literally my
dream. No, I wanted the first cut to be caught on film. I wanted at the time my daughter, I think was like one, I wanted her first steps on the treehouse to be caught on film. Like there were certain moments and it wasn't about us and marketing us. It was about capturing this moment in time where I was going all in on life with my husband and we were doing the damn thing. And I wanted it for her. I wanted for her when she grew up, for her to know our story first and foremost. And then second of all, I wanted badass content to be able to market with, right?
Yeah.
So Josh was like 100% on board. So we signed up with Josh. And then the next call I made is I'd always been following Anchor in Lewiston. And this was like 5 years ago. And so I said at some point in my life, because again, Anchor is just an incredible agency and their storytelling for their clients is just remarkable. And so I was like, I really want Anchor to be a part of this from a branding standpoint to brand us, but really understand our story, our vision, how we are, how we want to be in our community, how we want to show up every day. Mm-hmm. And so those were the two places that we invested in. So we worked with Anchor and the team on our branding and the gorgeous illustrations. And we just thought we'd be the treehouse. And then...
Can I pause you right here before you go any further? Yeah. I feel like this is the most, there's two things here, but the most important takeaway for people listening is that if you're planning a build and you have a dream and you do want to grow it, investing in marketing or documentation at the beginning is almost more essential. Important. Yes. I feel like people put it off and then they're like, I can't hire photographers for the first year because I spent all this money on the build. But I'm like, dude, I'm throwing 10 grand at a hot tub. Why would I not throw 10 grand at someone who can help capture it and tell the story? Like, I feel like that gets missed a lot.
So I used in my previous life, I used to work for a company called HubSpot. Both my husband and I did. We were at HubSpot for almost a decade, over a decade combined. And one of the best companies to work for, one of the hardest decisions for both him and I to leave and do this because it was such a safety net. But we're like, here we are. We're just going to do the damn thing. So I used to tell my clients this, and I really, it was 90% truth, 10% a sales tactic at the time. Going out on my own and doing what we did, I now eat my words every single day, and I truly stand by them. I used to tell my customers, yes, it's going to cost you more, but it's an upfront investment for longer term success. And I used to say that. And part of it was like to close the deal. But that's what it is. Like, It is, if I'm going to roll the dice on an investment I make, I'm going to bet on us. I'm going to bet on Rob and myself. Rob always says, I back the right horse, right? Because both him and I are a team and we put our money out there. But then we know what we're going to do with that. And it's about being strategic and thoughtful with your investments. It's not, and it's about finding the right partner to tell your story. And it's about finding the right agency to brand you. And yes, does that cost money? Abso-freaking-lutely. Does it cost money to protect that with trademarks and IP? Absolutely. But that is putting you in a position to take your investments and protect them, but also put you in a position to win. And that's and it's scary. And you're standing on that ledge and you're like, shit, how is this going to go? And this is a lot of money and it's a lot of time and it's really scary. Well, nothing easy is not scary. It's going to be scary. You just got to freaking do it.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask more. There's so many technical questions I want to ask there, but I want to back up for 1 second.
Yeah.
Because you said something, I want to be clear. I don't cry easily, but you said something. I'm going to get emotional right now, but you said something a minute ago. You said, I wanted to document us going all in on life. And I feel like that is the core of like why Sean and I do what we do, because I lost my mom and that's how it all started. When I lost her, she left us money.
Yep.
I know. I read your pre-interview. And so I want to talk about that a little bit because I feel like I'm privileged in that she was able to leave me money and that bought my first cabin. And then my grandparents died and that bought the second one. But the part of me, the biggest takeaway was that my mom was frugal her whole life, saving for retirement so that she could travel and live out her retirement dreams. And she didn't make it to retirement. And so when I got that money, I was like, there's a couple things I could do with this. I could put it into a savings account or a Roth IRA, and like, which I have a Roth, like we're responsible too, but... But I can also, like, I don't want to wait until I'm retired to build my dream cabin. And I've never described it that way. But when you said, I wanted to document us going all in on life, it just feels like that's what we were doing.
So I started 3 business lines in 3 years. Online, hospitality, I should say we. Rob and I started 3 business lines in 3 years. Rob's Mr. Mysterioso. He hides out in the background.
This is Sean.
This whole, I will say I've been on quite a bit of journey since I lost my mom almost 14 years ago. I've lost both my parents. In the last 3 years, I would say 3 to 4 years, I've done a lot of work on myself, particularly because I now have a 6-year-old and I don't want my shit to be her shit. And we're going a little off of cabins here. But
no, I love this.
I don't want what I refer to her with her, like mommy's trying to change her patterns. My patterns, my stressors, my anxiety, I'm trying not to get choked up here. The things that have shaped and molded me from a place of fear to be her shit to carry on. So I've done a lot of work on myself in that sense. And so when I look back at all the sacrifices that my mom made for me in her life and the people that came before me and the position that they put me in, to do anything less with my life, in my opinion, is to do a disservice to them and their memory. Yeah. The other thing that I know is that it could all be gone tomorrow.
Yep. Yep.
And so I'm wearing this bracelet. There's a really cool company called My Intent. Have you ever heard of My Intent?
Uh-uh.
So one of the girls that worked for me at my shop, I love her. She lost one of her daughters. She told me somebody had given her one that said strength. And the idea is that they customize them and you put your intent on the bracelet. And so every year I choose a word to focus on. 3 years ago, it was the word focus. And I became so focused, I became out of balance. So the next year, my word was balance. Mm-hmm. And then last year, my word was fearless. Mm-hmm. And this year, my word is joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because through going through this process and documenting this process and doing this, I'm doing it for Andy because I want Andy to be able to know and learn the way in which I've transformed my life because of my losses, mm-hmm. in being fearless,
yeah.
in being appreciative, in being grateful for the things that I have and the risks that I take, and creating a life, leaving the corporate world. Me and my husband, I used to get so mad at Rob. How come you're not getting more upset about this? Why aren't you more involved in the business? I started 3 business lines in 3 years because what I was realizing is that I was running away from dealing with my own grief. And so I was pouring it all into the business like a crazy spinning compass, trying mm-hmm. to make my life make sense. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't realize was when my mom died, I felt like my compass was smashed and I had to figure out how to put it all together. But what I didn't realize is I needed to pick up the pieces, put it in a box and honor it for what it was. And I needed to calibrate my own compass. Mm-hmm. But it's taken me a long time to do that. And that's why this crazy lady and her husband started 3 businesses in 3 years, because my husband's unbelievably supportive of this crazy person that has gotten us to this crazy point in my life.
Yeah.
But I now understand the why of what I
do. Yeah.
But now I need to do it in a healthier way and live life in joy.
Yeah.
And not out of a place of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can relate to that. Tangent.
But I'm sorry if this.
No, I feel like it's so important because I think a lot of people in my life thought I was crazy for the first cabin and like, oh, you're going to spend your entire inheritance on a cabin. And I was like, spend or invest.
That's but the thing the is that people thing, don't understand that. But that's the other thing too, is if you're going to do it, you do it. Go all in.
Yes.
Like you
yes.
have
I'm
to
not
going to
have
to. You have to understand that you're making an investment, but what it's going to do is you could put it in something and it make like, you know, 2%, 3%, whatever it is, the stock market could go up, whatever it is. But if you're going to invest it in a cabin or some sort of passion or whatever it is, you're going to have to put that sweat equity in. And that's what people don't expect.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's called passive income. In so many places, people just talk about it as passive income. And it's like, well, it's not exactly what it is. But I also feel like it's not just investing financially, and it is that. And if you are risk averse to finances, that's the way that you can kind of talk yourself into it. But it's also investing. I can't stop thinking about the way you described it. It's about investing in like now versus 20 years from now. Because if you put it in a Roth IRA, yes, you will have more in 20 years, but same with the cabin, you can, but you also have had 20 years worth of experiences yourself and all the people that you've been able to host there, who've had the experiences, this thing you've created. And that's going back to marketing. That's how I think about marketing. It's not about like growing numbers or revenue. It's about like, how do more people find out about this experience that they could have? If we want to fill our calendar and really share it with other people, how do we help the right people find out about it? And you have done such a good job at that.
Thank you. What's interesting is that we're not on Airbnb. We've never really been on Airbnb.
That's one of my questions. I noticed that.
Because there's a couple reasons for that. One, I said to myself, I want, part of it was just like, my own crazy, like, can I do this without Airbnb?
Oh, and you have.
The other part of it was being able to book somebody, take that revenue and reinvest it in real time without, people don't understand that when you book through an Airbnb, the host does not get that revenue at that time. Fees get taken out and they are paid out at the time of your stay. Not that anybody needs to know that, but if you're going to get into this market, you're going to be a host, you need to understand that that's how it works.
Yeah.
Not doing that allowed us to invest on the brand side and building the brand.
Oh, because you got the money earlier.
In real time. So you
were filling up all those. So yeah, got it.
So what I did was, so we worked for a company called HubSpot. And so at the time I was in services, and then I, my last year there, I moved over to a sales role for the last year, starting a sales team for about 12 months. I worked on a upsell cross-sell team. But one of the things I did was I spun up the Treehouse account on my in HubSpot, and I would actually demo to my clients how you would actually use the product and the software. So it was awesome. And so I did that. But then I started to integrate a reservation system and see how that worked and stuff like that. Yeah. And so that's how it started to go that route to avoid Airbnb. So I was doing product demos with like reservation systems. And yeah. So for us, that's how it worked. And then I was like, I am going to go to market. I'm going to generate my own PR. I'm going to generate our revenue and stuff without Airbnb. And then I was like, how long can we do this ourselves? And so we've been able to do it. Do I think that we could potentially book more? But we were never looking for 30 nights of turnover with our brand. We were looking for quality guests to come in to experience it and become part of the story. And believe it or not, we've only stayed in our treehouse maybe 3 or 4 nights ever in the last
four years. Because it's so booked?
No, because Rob and I actually don't even think about the treehouse. We truly believe, like I know one of my missions, I know I was put on this earth to help people, and the capacity in which I do that, I think is yet still to be realized. I just know that that's my mission, is to help people. I think we will. We built this for other people. The energy on the property is so healing and transforming that I feel like this place just, I believe in energies, and I believe this place attracts people in times in their life when they need it and they leaving clarity.
Yeah.
And so that's how we feel. And like when we think about our brand, and I will stand by this time and time again, we are in the business of marketing our town and our community, and we're a destination along the way. And I say that all the time because I truly believe that we are on the cusp of one of our biggest brand moves. I know this is the first time talking about it publicly.
Oh, I'm so intrigued.
And I have no idea when this would air. So let's just make sure that it airs.
It'll be in a month.
Okay, perfect. We are actually opening up a flagship location right here on Norway. We have our, so when we decided to open up the retail storefront, I decided it in April that we were going to do it. I quit my job and I said, we're going to open up a retail storefront because there's something about being online, but there's something about turning your lights on every day that really is being part of the community. And so Rob was like, we're doing what? And I was like, yeah, this was 3 years ago. He goes, and what are we opening? He goes, 6 weeks. He goes, do we have a space? And I go, no. So I went door to door because this was during COVID. And I was like, hi, how are things going for you? Is your shop going to find a space? And I finally came across this property management company that had a storefront, who I love, the property manager. And I said to him, you don't need this storefront. Your property management company. And so I went in every day for a week. And the last day I brought a tape measure and I started measuring his walls. And he goes, what are you doing? And I go, just in case you change your mind. And so he said, you know what? You can have my space. So within 6 weeks, we opened up our store. Now our store is not, was not the space that I needed, but it was perfect for what we were at the time. But as the business has grown, and particularly online, it's really challenging to fill online orders and manage a retail space out of like 600 square feet.
Yes. We have clients who do this and they all have expanded to like storage units and like warehouses.
So we have like a separate warehouse, but it's a third floor walk up. Not ideal when you have like 75 boxes and you're just like lifting them up. But yeah,
your UPS man probably doesn't like that. Or
No, they just leave it. I would never do that to them because I love them too much. So it's just basically my husband cursing me.
Yeah.
So, and my, you know, and my part-time employees. But I, we were approached 2 weeks ago to take over a space in the historic Opera House here in downtown Norway. There's like four or five amazing shops, some of which have been there the last 10 years. And it literally is an absolute dream come true. But we are hoping to open our new flagship location May 1st, which is two doors down, 400 Main Street in downtown
Norway. Will you still have the other one or you'll move to that
one? We are going to keep operations going to April 30th. And I am going to somehow in the next 8 weeks open up the Woods Main flagship.
Oh my God. I'm looking at pictures right now of the Opera House because I was like, I need to see a picture of it.
It's so amazing. But
it is. It's so New England.
Do you know what's so amazing about the Opera House? They have the most incredible board and they are trying to fundraise to restore the Opera House so it brings back theater and culture to downtown Norway. And to be a part of that mission now and to be a part of that space, to be able to help make that vision a reality in any way that I possibly can. I feel called to do it and I'm going to do it. Like I,
hell yeah.
You'll have to come up if we do it like a soft
opening. I want you so much because I've never even, honestly, I've never been to Norway and all I know about Norway is the Woods Main. Like how I first discovered it. That's how I like, and I've never been there.
Like there are the most amazing places to eat. You've got the cutest stores and Handmade Maine is all Maine-made products in Handmade Maine. We don't carry all Maine-made products. That's a Handmade Maine thing. For us, we highlight women-owned businesses, Black-owned businesses, growing businesses.
Yep.
You've got Fiber and Vine, which is a wine and knitting store, which is amazing.
Oh my God.
You've got the Raven Collection. She does the most, like, she's got crystals and you've got healing pathways. Hidden Pathways to Healing, which is amazing. Widdishins Antique Store. So cool.
Oh, I love antiquing. You're only an hour from Freeport. Why have we never been there?
I don't know. The restaurants, but even beyond that, hiking at all of like Roberts and Shepherd's Farm Preserve. But what's really cool is it's part of the Western Foothills Land Trust. Roberts Farm Preserve has a warming hut and you can for free get snowshoes and cross-country skis in the winter. And then even cooler on Friday nights, the Allen Day Community Garden, which is an amazing organization. If you haven't heard about it, they do this outdoor farmer's market, but then they do firewood pizza. And if you can afford pizza, you can donate to buy your pizza. Or if you can't, you can just come and have pizza and listen to music just the community. But that's why we moved here, is because having lost my parents, my in-laws are down in Mass, having lost my parents and my family being far away, I never thought I'd be living in Norway, Maine. Like we were literally 3 minutes from signing a contract in Portland. If at all, we were going to move anywhere out of Boston. I was like, I'm a city girl. There's no way you're going to ever find me in Western Maine. And when we started this treehouse project, the electricians on the project, the excavators on the project, my best friend is the wife of the excavator that was on this project up here.
Is that how you met her?
Yes. Wow. And so the people that worked on this project, I said to myself, if something ever happened to me, if something ever happened to Rob, what would Andy do? I don't worry about that. This community will rally around my husband if something happens to me. They will rally around my child. And I know that this community will embrace them. And for me, I don't care where I am in the world. If that is something that I can say, I want to live and invest my time and energy into that community.
Yes. And this is, I think, the piece that's often missed when we start talking about short-term rental regulations. And I wanted to ask about that just because I do think that when done right, rentals can contribute back to the community as much as the community contributes to folks who are traveling there and getting to enjoy the area. Now, the problem is I don't think every host views it that way or puts the time and energy into engaging in the community in the way that you do. So do you have any, to me, it seems like it's just your heart that's driven this, but do you have any thoughts or tips for folks? Because a lot of folks we talk to live somewhere else and then built their cabin in a different location, myself included, no judgment. Do you have any like advice for them on how they integrate with their community more or ways to get started if they're not?
I would say, what makes your soul happy? Sit with yourself and say, what makes my soul happy? If I sit here, is it gardening? Is it whatever, you know, is it music? Is it crafting? Is it animals? Is it whatever it is? And then seek out one organization in the community in which your Airbnb or cabin resides in. And whether it's donating your time, whether it's donating money, whether it's donating expertise, if you're in marketing, if you're in accounting, if you're whatever it is, just carve out a little time in your busy world. Why? A couple things happen. You build a community connection and you give back. Two, it's something that you enjoy because you sat with your soul. And three, it's going to feed you and you're going to be able to operate out of a place of joy. And to be honest with you, the value that that recipient receives is going to be so much far greater than you could even imagine.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that is just like a very simple way of putting it, because then it can flourish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you do that. Hold on. I've written it down where you donate, but you donate a portion of your profits to, you can probably tell me, it's in my notes here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes,
so we were doing that. So when we were small, we were doing that with Western Foothills Land Trust. The problem with me is that I want to get to everybody. So we are restructuring on how we're going to do that, but we do contribute to Western Foothills Land Trust as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
But our
have you done that since day one? Was that like part of your original?
That was part of our, you know, it was part of like all of our apparel. Now it's like our green hoodie that we do that for. We're trying to figure out, I'm trying to carve it out so that it's a little bit more tracked and accurate and all of that stuff. But really for us, I want to figure out, is there a way that we have something that donates back to the Opera House on a regular basis?
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't even know if it's necessarily like the apparel piece where we give like a piece back of like the apparel so much so as like, could we use our marketing firepower for some of these organizations to really help them out? So like one of the things that I've really, we probably get 5 to 7 donation requests a day.
Wow.
Which is really
for like silent auctions and events everything. And things like
it's
that.
It's very community things. It's very, very hard to say no, but I've gotten to a point where now it's so saturated and that it's very hard to say yes to.
You can't say yes to all of them. Yeah.
But there are certain things that we carved out. And one that I said to Rob, which is super important to me, is helping children who have lost parents, children and adults. So we rarely donate the treehouse as an auction item. It's a very high value auction item. But we actually have started to work with the Center for Grieving Children in Portland, and they just had their love gala and they said it was one of the highest fetching items, but we donated the treehouse to that. And I said, well, you can count on us again for next year because there are certain things like loss is one thing. That's the one thing that's crazy that, you know, they say like loss is one thing that connects every single person and every single soul on this planet. And you need to stop and think about that. If it's not you, it's someone else. Like we're all going to experience it.
That's right.
And it affects us in different ways and it affects our journeys in different ways. So it's like, how can you help people and change the perspective on loss for people that can help them heal, get to a place of healing and use that as a superpower, using someone as a superpower?
Because I do kind of feel like it is because I
have an Enneagram 7. Sometimes too, saying that, right?
You what?
like sometimes do you feel bad about saying that where you're like, you know,
I say
my mom does more for me where she is now than she could have ever done on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. That's interesting to think about. I just know that I had never experienced significant loss. She was the first significant loss in my life and will probably be the hardest of my life, minus like maybe a spouse. But once I had that experience, the way that I'm able to treat other people who've experienced loss or connect with them or support them if a family member is sick, whereas I had no idea how to do that before because it would just make me uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what to tell you or do to support you. But I feel like once you go through it, you're like, no, I've got some ideas. Like, I can show up for you in a way that so few other people can.
100%. Like, I feel like my next career is to help people grow their business, help in that capacity. But I also feel like there needs to be a significant shift in having the uncomfortable conversation about loss.
This is what I want to make a documentary about.
It's a little secret that no one wants to talk about. The other thing I equate that to is like parenthood. I don't know why women don't talk about the dirty, ugly shit about being a parent. Because, you know, here I go to therapy after having a child thinking I have postpartum. They're like, no, this is circumstantial. I'm like, then no, why didn't anybody tell me this?
It's right. The same if thing everyone else loss. Is experiencing this,
it's
like,
the same
why
thing with loss. I don't know why we don't talk about it, but it is a driver. And you look at some of these amazing entrepreneurs in their life, and really what it is it was rooted from running away from dealing with loss that they threw their whole selves into a project. And while it looks spectacular on the inside, they're a freaking ball of mush.
I know. And people want you to be strong. Like, I remember someone saying to me in the year after my mom died, like, oh, you're so brave. You're so strong. No, you know, and they didn't say it quite like this, but like, I'm glad it happened to you because you can handle it. And I was like, no. So the reality is like, I can't handle it. That's just all happening inside. And what you've reinforced to me is that if I show it to you on the outside, that will be a problem. So you are rewarding me for being able to lock all those feelings on the inside and not letting you see them. And I learned that lesson day and day again. They're like, oh, where's the Janice that we know and love? When is she coming back? And you get rewarded for being back to normal or creating something big and not talking about those feelings. I can see why it all happens. I don't know the answer to fixing it. But
trust me, when I look back and was like, oh, wow, creating a brand, a retail store, an online shop and a hospitality experience while having a 2 to 3 year old at the time. Yep. I was definitely running away from something.
Yeah.
And trying to fill the gap of that. And then like to do the hard work and look inward, I feel like was for Andy, our daughter, and to be better for her, but also to be better for me, because I will never forget. I had an amazing, he was an executive at HubSpot, Dan Tyre. Love Dan. He is like my Arizona lover. He's got this gorgeous house in Arizona. I visit him and his wife. You know, when it gets super cold out in Arizona, they call it the Misogyny winter getaway out there. And Sedona has incredible energy out there. Like the healing energy of Arizona is just, it's insane. But I remember I called him a couple years ago, it was like 2 years ago, and I said, Dan, I need executive coaching. I've got this business that's growing and I'm trying to figure out what to do next and all this stuff. And he said, wait, he goes, the Sam Misogyny that got you to this point is not the Sam Misogyny that's going to serve you moving forward. Before you could do any executive coaching, you need to work with my wife, Amy, who does mind-body coaching, and you need to work on some healing. And I will never forget that conversation. And I started working with his wife, Amy, on doing mind-body coaching. And it put me on the journey of like going to therapy for the first time in whatever years. And all of these other, like physically taking care of myself and mentally taking care of myself and changing my pathways. So that as an executive, as a CEO, as a brand builder, I could show up better for myself, for my husband, for my daughter, for our employees, so that I can serve us better as we grow.
Yeah.
But it was super interesting because here I thinking I need executive coaching because I have no idea what's going on in my business when I actually need to get my shit together.
Sounds like you're a couple years ahead of me.
Right. But no, but like this, but I feel like these conversations need to come out, especially if you're an entrepreneur that is reeling from loss.
Because you can cover it up with a whole bunch of other things. I did the same thing last year.
You don't realize that your coping mechanisms, it's just my drive in business. I'm just a very driven person.
Yeah, I'm just ambitious. That's right.
And that's okay. But are you ambitious from a place of being healthy and balanced?
I know.
Are you doing it from a place of a wounded child?
And this is why I don't let guests ask questions, Sam, because that is not a question I'm ready to answer.
Right. You don't have to answer it. We're just throwing it out into the universe.
That's right. All of you listeners can think about that. Good luck with it. I, on the other hand, am still manipulating my therapist to avoid anything hard that she might want to talk about. So
I got to tell you, dig in. Dig in. The journey is crazy. I won't even scare everybody with like the journey that I've been on and the crazy spiritual like stuff. Like I am not a religious person, but I do have faith in the universe. I do have like I believe in universe. I believe in the energy. I believe in the power of manifestation. That has all changed and solidified probably in the last 6 weeks for me, the power of manifestation.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty really? Recent. Yeah.
Is that the Opera House? That was like
the second biggest proof of that. The first biggest proof is when we landed the cover of Yankee Magazine.
Oh, I was going to ask about that. I mean, yes, I was just with Pam last week and we talked about it a lot and she brought a copy. And so we like looked through it and it was just that picture on the front is like
holy
the
crap,
best.
Right. So I didn't know that was coming out. Spot.
You didn't know you were going to be on the cover?
No, they didn't tell me.
What?
So.
Okay. Best surprise ever.
Freaking unbelievable. So one of the goals that I'd had, because I've always done my own PR, like I pitched the Harrows myself, like, and I have had friends in PR that have like helped me out and hooked me up here and there, whatever. So one of the goals that I've always had was to land the cover of Yankee. I don't know why, but it was just like in my mind, I'm like, I built this beautiful thing. It would be so pretty on the cover.
And it was.
So I've gone at several angles and I'm like, I see everybody else going like around me. And then, you know, I've tried to do the non-comparison thing all the time and everything like that. And so one of the concepts with manifestation is that the more you try to control and make it happen, you're actually putting negative vibrations out into the universe. The idea is to release. The idea is to say, I surrender this and kind of give it up. And you're able to raise your vibration, thus attracting more of what you want. Gabby Bernstein's, what is it? Super Attractor. I'm going to give Gabby Bernstein a shout out here. I just finished her book and I don't even read, but it took me a year, but I put it there. Gabby Bernstein. But so the idea is that you do that. And unbeknownst to me, because we got so focused on other projects and launches like our Chappie Rap collaboration, everything like that, it took me off the path of this Yankee magazine. But one of the goals I had in 2023 was to land the cover of Yankee. And of course, how are you going to do that without pitching? Right? Like you have to do it yourself. Like nobody.
That's what I would think
for you. Well, on New Year's Eve, on the 31st, the last day of the year, I turn my phone over when I wake up and my phone is blowing up and my mother-in-law goes, did you see it? And I go, see what? And she sends me a picture of it and I just burst into tears. And in that moment, it didn't require me. Pam and Chris gave me that gift. They gave me that moment and that life box checked.
Yeah.
And they did something for me that I've wanted and worked towards. And it showed me that if you trust in the universe and in the energy, it doesn't have to come from you, but it can come from things that you've done and it can emanate back to you. So literally on the last day of the month, and I had a foundational shift in my confidence and my ability to trust again, to let my guard down, to not do everything from a place of fear and anxiety and say, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Rob and I were saying, I literally was in tears saying, our space is going to break. Our business is going to break come Q4. If we stay in our current space, I don't know what we're going to do. And he goes, just trust, have faith. 2 hours later, we get a phone call with someone approaching us about a bigger space. And so it's for me, letting go of control, because I'm a control freak.
Me too.
Hardest thing to do.
It's so hard.
But it goes back to that concept of what you were saying. If to a cabin builder and people come to you from a production standpoint after the fact, it's going to cost us $10,000. It's going to whatever it is. If it's the right thing to do and you do it, trust that the fruits of that will show up. It's an upfront investment for longer term success. Same thing with having faith in it. Now, there's nothing to say that you're like, one day I'm just going to randomly show up on the cover of Yankee magazine. Things had to happen. I am a weird, I've turned into a place where like, I don't need to have content creators come in and do stuff at our treehouse anymore. That's not something that I seek out to do. I'm someone who admires people's storytelling, their vision, their images. And so I'm like a dirty little collector. So there's a couple out there, and Chris and Pam were one of my dirty little collectors I wanted to have in my like personal photography of my space. C-Funk is another one. He's awesome. And so he came in and I wanted his take on my space. And so I reach out to people and have them come and stay because I just love how they interpret the space.
Right.
It's my own thing. It's not. And then the benefit is they share it with their audience.
That's
but
right.
For me, it's just, I want my dirty little collection of awesome photographers.
Which I do feel like Dirt and Glass are the best storytellers out there. There's something about the way they're in the photos that doesn't make you look at them. It makes you feel like you are them or you want to be them. And it just like, they tell the story.
But that, I think that that's the thing, is it's not necessarily about having someone come in that's got, you know, 10 million followers and this, that, and the other thing. You have to sit with someone, and if there's somebody that you admire, reach out to them. And if they and don't be like, let's just do this in trade. Pay them for the time and their effort. They're not coming like they're coming in and enjoying their space, but they're doing a job.
Agreed.
And so and that's the thing, is like, that I think that's the other thing that gets lost too with people, is that they don't want to put it out there. But you need to figure out what is the value to you. Like, what is it? Are you just going to use these for marketing assets? Is this something that you want just because you want their pictures in a collection? That's, you know, when you're talking to people, that I think the biggest thing is that people think that they could just like bring people into the space. And, you know, some people want to do it in trade or whatever it is, because it's like fun. God bless it. That's awesome.
Yep.
But if someone is coming in and they're putting the time, effort, putting the equipment in, and really telling a story, it's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Because you never know where it's going to happen. Like last day of the
year. I know. I know.
Like I reached out to them and I'm like, you guys have no idea like what a life moment you gave me in coming to my space, like a life. But that's what's so amazing about what it is that we do, is and the people that we cross paths with. You never know how they're going to impact and shape your life.
I know. And vice versa. I think we've talked about this before, but that's why I love reading our guest book so much, because, you know, you just see a name and how many reviews they have when they book, and you just don't really know much about them if you're booking on Airbnb. And then they show up and then you get this intimate guestbook message that tells you what brought them there, that tells you the healing that happened there, that tells you what they're taking with them to their life back at home. And you don't know any of that from the moment they book, you know?
Yeah.
And some people never write that. Like, we've had a couple guests recently didn't write anything in the guestbook, which is totally up to them. But it makes me wonder, it doesn't mean they didn't have an experience, but what are all the things under the surface that we don't know about, that we're doing that shape their experience, or that they're doing that will shape our experience? Who knows who they're going to tell about it when they go home and what that will do?
I know. It's interesting. They, like, because the one downside to not being on Airbnb is like, we don't have like a place where you can leave reviews for us.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. We do have reviews on our site, but I don't think like we've had a review in like years, just because we don't send out emails asking for them or soliciting.
Yeah.
But again, I think that's like a different weird take for me, is like, I don't look at this as a revenue generator. Yes, it is. Inherently it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a soul generator. Like it's like a soul refuel. And so like, people that stay here were drawn to here for a reason, for their own journey, for their own path, for their own reason. And so while reviews would be nice, and I probably should send them out, or like have them posted somewhere, like the Treehouse, that's what's so crazy about this brand, is the Treehouse has become secondary to the brand.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know which I found first. I think I found the Treehouse first, but the shop was like right around the same time I was discovering the overall brand.
What was crazy is, so we had this Norway long sleeve t-shirt and we put it in the window at the bookstore in downtown Norway. And we sold out of our t-shirts within like the first couple hours. So she called me back and she said, hey, can you bring some more of these t-shirts down? So I was like, yeah. So then we started designing other t-shirts and a couple other things, putting in her bookstore, and she would sell them. And then I said to Rob, this was during COVID, I'm like, I think we may have a brand or something. So she said, do you want to have a little corner of my store? So we had a rack, two chairs, another rack. And so I said, sure. And then Seabags, I reached out to Seabags to design my collection on Seabags, our first vintage collection, our original collection, they did. And so we did that. And then within 6 months, they opened up a store called Brick and Mortar, which was a home store.
Yeah.
And they said, do you want to open with us? Because we had a big social media following. Do you want to have like 200 square feet in the store and open with us? I said, oh my God, this would be amazing. So at the time, I had left my job. Rob had left a year before me. He left HubSpot a year before me to do daddy daycare. And so then I said, yes, let's open. So we opened in October, I think it was 4 years ago in Brick and Mortar, which is actually the same space I'm moving back to in a couple weeks. Which is
really crazy. In the Opera House?
Yes.
Okay, wait. So you opened your Brick and Mortar in October of 2020? Pre-vaccines during COVID.
Yes.
That is so ballsy.
So we opened in the corner there. And then I was like, I don't know what's going to happen with the Treehouse, with COVID and everything like that. I'm going all in on this brand situation. So we opened up like in the corner with Brick and Mortar in a tiny little space. We went through Christmas with them. And I said to Rob, we need our own shop. And he's like, Jesus, when is that going to happen?
2 months in.
And then 3 months later was that April when I started knocking on everybody's door. We opened in June 1st. And so fast forward, it's been 3 years and now we're moving into Brick and Mortar back into the whole store and making it our flagship. Yep. So it's crazy. It started with a t-shirt 3 years ago.
So this is my question, because I have thought about making Cozy Rock merch just for like guests or whatever. And even that feels hard for me. Who would want to buy something with our logo on it that I designed on Canva? So how did you get the confidence to be like, not only will people want that, but like I can grow it? And you were totally right. Like it's happening. But at that moment, what did it take to have the confidence to do that?
I think that if I actually knew what it would take to do everything that we've done, if I actually knew, I probably wouldn't have done it. Because it is a lot of work, it's a lot of commitment, and it's consistency. It's being consistent and pushing through. I mean, I can't tell you half the reason Rob and I have been married 15 years together, 18, I don't even know anymore, is because 99% of the time I'm on the floor crying, going, what did I do with our lives? And he's taking the shovel going, all right, it's time to get up. Or he's like, hey, why don't you have this wink or something and just unwind? You know what I mean? Like he is literally, because it's freaking hard.
So hard. This so sounds like our life. It's like my ratio is a little bit different. It's like 90% of the time I'm fine. And I'm like, go, 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 build, build, build. We can do this. And then 10% of the time I'm just a sobbing mess. And Sean is like, what has happened? And then he takes care of me.
It's crazy. But I think like when I got to the point and was like, we should do it, is like, when I realized like we're all in, like we left our 9-to-5, our one of the best companies to work for in the world. We are doing this damn thing, like no health insurance, like figuring this shit out. I have always had the best of health insurance, best of companies, everything. And I'm like, we're going to freaking do this. And I think part of it was there's two things. There's one thing that made me truly fearless. And that was giving birth.
Wait, after you gave birth, you were like, I'm no longer afraid of anything?
Well,
or going into giving
birth?
At this
point in my life, nothing is worth giving birth and like maybe the first 18 months of having a child. So I'm literally like, if I survive this, branding some t-shirts and trying to sell them is like so freaking easy. Like that's like my gauge. Every time I find something to be extremely challenging, scary, painful, it is no worse than going through pregnancy, giving
which you've already done
in the first 18 months.
Okay. I've done none of those things. So that might not be what gets me to do this.
But I'm saying like for me,
for you, yeah.
Looking at this and going like, I birthed a human, which is the most unnatural, natural thing, supposedly. Like, I mean, this is just my experience. God bless everybody that loves it. That for me, Rob always says life is all about perspective. And so if you put things into perspective versus like, you know, birthing a child compared to birthing a brand, honestly, one is significantly harder in my opinion.
You're like, I got this. Yep. Like, and the stakes are lower.
I mean, hey, somebody might just be able to have a child super easy and birthing a company would be impossible. But to me, it's like, it's way easier to do that than it would be to be a parent. Doing it together is insane. But I think that, you know, the other thing that I think is really important though, when it comes to branding, when it comes to thinking about these things, is protecting that brand, protecting that name, and protecting the property. And I think that this is something that is significantly missed. It costs a shit ton of money to trademark if you're going to do it the right way. I didn't know that you can't just trademark a phrase. It has to be in certain classes and certain, you know, people don't understand the investments and the times. Yes, you can do it. But if you really are going to do the damn thing, if you're really going to brand apparel, you're really going to go out there and really create a holistic brand, you need to protect that brand and invest in that. And so that was one of the other biggest upfront investments that we had. We actually just secured our 22nd trademark yesterday.
Wait, so do you have to renew it? No, wait. Okay, how does that work? Talk us through it. For those of us who are like, okay, I hear you. This is probably important. How do we do that and how much does it cost?
So I actually went with an actual trademark attorney.
Okay.
So I went through an amazing firm that specializes in trademarks because I wanted to make sure I did it the right way because something like the Pines could be found in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You know, potentially. So I wanted to make sure that like I was fully cleared, everything like that. But what's interesting is I want to put the Pines on a hat or a sweatshirt, and then I want to put it on my pillows, and I wanted to put it on my blankets, and I want to put it on jewelry, and I want to put it on bags. Those are like four or five different classes. So it's a filing for each trademark.
Oh my God.
So we own the phrase the woods. In real estate, apparel, bags, home collection. We own the Pines as standalone brand mark in apparel, brand, home collection, jewelry, blankets, real estate, a few other things. But then we also trademarked phrases like from the seas to the trees. We just got issued what is going to end up being our company ethos for both Treehouse and apparel, which is Comfort Elevated. That's going to be our brand line now, is that we're Comfort Elevated because that's what we are. We want you to feel warm and cozy, but we want to be that next step up. Yes. And so
high-end cozy. Yeah.
And then it also works on cozy level of being in a treehouse and being elevated. So you're Comfort Elevated in a treehouse.
I love this.
So, but we filed for that in all of the classes, apparel, real estate, bag.
So this is like ongoing. Every time you come up with a new idea, you go back to your lawyer and have them do the trademark for that.
Yes, I am done trademarking for a little while. But part of that is one of the, you know, when I started this, I never thought we'd be doing any of this. And part of what I have is I have a lot of different strengths, but I also have a lot of different, I don't want to call them weaknesses, but I blind spots.
Yeah, I love that word.
And so part of that is, you know, I don't want to be in the manufacturing of my apparel for the rest of my life. I don't want to have to be, I want to sit at a place where I get to be creative, where I get to separate some of my time from this business to talk to people who have lost people or talk to people about how they build their business. And in doing that, that's going to require someone coming in and let's say investing in the company but it will always be, even if I sell a piece of the company or I do a big licensing deal or, which is what I dream of doing, like my tree home collection by Martha Stewart. Martha, if you watch the podcast, I want to do a tree home collection with you and putting that out into the universe.
Did you just say if Martha Stewart watches the podcast?
Yes. Do you think we get Martha to watch the podcast?
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure she's already one of our listeners.
Definitely. We should have
her. Hit us up, Martha. Yeah.
Absolutely. But my idea is that if you want to do those things and like the collaborations that we have, whether it's with Chappie Rap or otherwise, you have to protect your partners too.
Yeah.
And so to be able to say, hey, we have IP protection on this. No one else, they probably can go and do it, but they shouldn't be doing that. Or we could go after them. I'm not in the business of going after anybody. The trademarks aren't to go after anybody. They're to protect me and also potential investors or whatever it is down the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that that's super important for your listeners to understand too, from a branding standpoint.
And no one has ever brought this up. So can you give us a ballpark of like over or under $5,000 for one trademark? If you just wanted to trademark like the name.
Oh, it's under $5,000. So I would say, it depends. So so you could do like full clearances, which come at a particular cost where they basically do in-depth research, or they could do like quick research to see if it's available before they start to file. So I would say per trademark. So in the initial phase, it's probably like $1,000, $1,200 or whatever in the initial to file. But then after you, let's say, get the initial approval, like we just did with Comfort Elevated, now we are in a phase where we have to show a statement of use. So you have to show it in a certain way and how you're using it and everything like that. So you have the statement of use. And then it's $750 per mark at that point to get the final filing through. Now, where it can get expensive is when you may have to, let's say they have to take issue with something and you have your attorney go back and revise.
Then it's attorney fees.
It can get that way, or it can get, which has happened before, a large trademark dispute where someone tries to dispute the trademark. And depending on how that situation goes, it can get very expensive, which has happened.
And potentially you could end up without a trademark and still having to pay for all those things.
You can. And it can get ugly sometimes, which it has.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the things you need to think about. Even if you don't intend when you start to build a brand, you never know what's going to happen to your brand. You have an opportunity. You should protect it anyway.
Yeah, this has my wheels turning.
I feel like now, more than ever, there is opportunity to create in this universe. And create on your own terms in your own way. But what you need to do is protect that, because the time, energy, and emotion that you put into it can so quickly be gone without protection. And so I feel like a lot of these brands, you see a lot of these like cool cabin brands. And I always wonder, I'm like, did they ever go the IP route? I almost want to reach out to everybody and be like, hey guys.
Nobody has mentioned it before. We have talked to a lot, like I think almost 60 cabin owners in the last year and a couple months, and not one person has ever mentioned it.
IP.
I mean, this is the first time I've thought about it. Literally the first moment I have thought about it.
It's important because you take so much time. Like, think about it. You talk to 60 business owners, and your circulation on your podcast, the people that you talk to, the people that are asking you for this event or that, that's your community. That's amazing. And that just doesn't happen. That takes time and effort, and it's passion. Mm-hmm. And so it's like doing that, like protection just seems secondary, but just like you said, and we said like an hour ago, the video production and the branding and all of that stuff as upfront investments, this is another piece of it. If this is going to be your life, this is a piece to protect the investments that you've made.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really smart for a lot of folks to think about, especially folks in the early stage, because you have the opportunity to do it right from the beginning. Those of us who are years in, it's not too late. I mean,
I know.
Okay, friends, we are ending episode one here, and we're going to pick up right where we left off next week and learn more from Sam, not only about the business side, but also about hosting and running a treehouse.
As always, thank you so much for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or share some of your favorite parts over on Apple Podcasts in a review. If you have feedback or suggestions for the future, you can find me on Instagram at CozyRatCabin. Thanks all. Looking forward to next week.